Hey guys, we are Emma and Jessica, and welcome to our podcast, The MSR Files, an X-Files podcast. First of all, welcome back. Welcome to season two of our wee podcast. To kick things off, in this episode, we're going to go over Little Green Men. We'll go through it scene by scene and discuss while interjecting with our own thoughts. Hope you enjoy.
So this one is written by Glenn Morgan and James Wong and directed by David Nutter. So we open up on space and Mulder's drony voice is just all that we hear. Couldn't sound any whinier. And he's basically telling us all about the two Voyager satellites that were launched on August 20th and September 5th, 1977. So he's talking about crap.
Pretty much.
And we hear Bach's Brandenburg Concerto number 2, and basically he says that each one's carrying a message, saying that we're going out into the universe seeking peace and all this nonsense, yeah. Which I feel like it's a false message.
Yeah. But yeah.
To be fair, the people that did it were scientists who are seeking peace, but the rest of the world don't trust them. Yeah, it is a beautiful thing trying to make contact with people that you know by the time they get it, you're gonna be dead.
No. That's true.
And the hope that someone's trying to make contact back. Well, actually. Yeah. Anyway, Mulder goes on saying, we wanted to listen. On October 12th, 1992, NASA initiated the high-resolution microwave survey. And then we cut to the Arecibo, Ionospheric Observatory. Arecibo, Puerto Rico. Whatever.
You can read it on this one.
So Mulder basically says how they've been searching tens of millions of frequencies for extraterrestrial intelligence. So then we get him saying, of course, that he wanted to believe. And then he says that the X-Files have been shut down. They've closed our eyes. Our voices have been silenced. Our ears now deaf to the realms of extreme possibilities. He's very dramatic about this whole thing. So anyway, then we get a message from Kurt Waldheim saying, I send a greetings on behalf of the people of our planet. We step out of our solar system into the universe, seeking only peace and friendship to teach again. Questionable. So then we get the opening credits and we see Mulder down in, it's not his basement, but it looks like a basement, eh? It looks like the tiniest little room. It looks like a closet, actually.
It
looks like
they really
like the janitor's closet or something. It's got a wee tape player on the go. He's listening to, I guess, like a gang or something. I don't know what they are. Yeah. Gangsters or something, talking about crap, and he's got a big pile of sunflower seeds. He's made a right mess of this little place, and he couldn't look more bored.
Liquor bug.
Yeah. So then we cut to Scully at the FBI Academy, Quantico, Virginia, and she's got a dead man lying in front of her with some dots on his head. That's what's happening, man. So yeah, he's got some dots along his head where she's about to cut, I'm assuming. And Scully's going on about, she sounds bored. She's like, this is the most basic, blah, blah, blah. The best place to cut or something. And she looks at the body and the students are kind of talking about her, it seems like, mumbling to themselves. And a female student asks if something wrong. And Scully says, what this man imagined, his dreams, who he loved, saw, heard, remembered, what he feared. Somehow it's all, it's all locked inside this small, massive tissue fluid. And Scully is going through it.
Yeah.
And her students are like, what the fuck? Then the female student asked her if everything's okay, or she asked if something's wrong. Now she's asking if everything's okay, and then she says she sounds a little spooky. And it's like, oh, how do you like that, Scully? Then we cut back to the FBI headquarters, Washington DC, and Scully's walking in the corridor, and then she gets so excited because she sees Mulder coming towards her, and she smiles, and then she's like, good afternoon, Agent Mulder, and he blanks her and keeps walking. It's not that he's ignored her, he just doesn't even acknowledge her presence. He's so defeated and out of it. He's so mopey that he doesn't even notice that she's walked up to him or spoken to him or anything. And she looks devastated.
Wow,
yeah, I know. And I've also said, please note that he hasn't shaved because it's not because of the X-Files, it's because he can't live without her.
No, yeah. Yep.
So then we cut to the Watergate Hotel and office complex, and Scully's pacing back and forth, and she sees someone walking towards her, and Mulder makes a joke about the cost of parking, and she lets out like a little smile. And then she says, you know, Mulder, from back there, you look like him. And Mulder's like, who? And she's like, Deep Throat. And it's like, you met him once, Hen, calm down. Like, why are you being so nostalgic? I know you were there at his death, but you weren't his best friend. Like, Mulder was better friends than him. So I don't understand what that's all about.
It's strange.
Yeah.
It's a strange choice.
So yeah, Mulder's like still being a cock, and he's just like, he's like, he's dead, what do you want? And Scully basically says she just wanted to talk. And Mulder says it's dangerous for them to have a little chit-chat, and that they must assume that someone's watching, and Mulder may as well be wearing a tinfoil hat, because he fucking lost it. Yeah, and she's like, I haven't seen any indication of this, and Mulder's like, no, of course not, these are the best people. It's like, no, just no one's watching you, Mulder, you're not that important, Cam. Yep. Scully says that the X-Files have been terminated, and says we've been reassigned, and then Mulder just looks so pissed off by that statement. He's just like, so many. So Mulder's like, so why have you bothered to come here covertly? And Scully's literally like, listen, mate, we're not working together anymore. We can fuck. And Mulder's just being an asshole and then ruining it all. And then Scully says, because I realized that it was the only way that you would see me. What a shame.
Scully.
She's like, we can literally have a relationship now, and he's just not getting it because he's too depressed, and it's so annoying. So Scully is literally like, I love you, care about you. She tells him how he passed her in the corridor, and he was miles away, didn't even recognize or notice her. And instead of taking this opportunity where she just like declared her love for him and, you know, to make something happen, he just whines about his new assignment. And he says how they've got him doing electronic surveillance, white bread cases, bank fraud, insurance fraud, healthcare swindles. Scully's basically like, oh, I know you're frustrated about the Bureau's resources, like, to continue his work for the X-Files.
Yeah.
And there's just, like, a lot of talk about the truth, and I can't be bothered, so... You're like, oh, the truth, I want to believe the truth. So then Mulder's like, have you ever been to San Diego? And Scully's like, what?
You really lost it.
And she's like, yeah. And he said, did you check out the Palomar? Yeah. Observatory. And Scully's like, no. So Mulder tells her about how it's the largest telescope in the world. And the idea came from a brilliant and wealthy astronomer named George Ellery Hale. And he said the idea was presented to him one night while he was playing billiards. An elf climbed into his window and told him to get money from the Rockefeller Foundation for a telescope. And Scully says, and you're worried all your life you've been seeing elves? And he slumps down against the wall. The look on his face, honestly, he looks so sad. And then he says, in my case, little green men. And then Scully kneels down next to him. I don't know why she could have stayed standing for once they were on the same height level, but she kneels down. She says, during your time on the X-Files, you've seen so much. And I don't know why she's suddenly acting like she believes when she still doesn't, because we'll find out soon enough in the season that she still does not believe at all. No. So she's just like humouring him because she can see how depressed he is.
Feel sorry for
him. And Scully, not Scully, Mulder says that's the point. He's not seen enough. He says he should have something to hold on to, some solid evidence that he's learned that from her. So again, Scully's like, your sister's abduction, you've held on to that. He says he's beginning to wonder if that ever happened. And Scully is like, what the actual fuck? Finally knows the truth. But she wants to get laid still. She's holding on to hope for that. So she can't say that. So she just like pretends, like, oh, don't give up, Mulder. And she tells him next time they meet out in the open. Basically, she's like, let's go on a date.
Yeah.
And he's just not getting it. And then she ruffles his fucking hair.
Could not be more obvious. And he's just like right over his head.
Fucking oblivious.
Yeah.
And she walks away. Then he opens, he's got his eyes closed. He opens his eyes and he looks at the sign in the parking lot and it says, this parking is reserved for the staff of the Watergate Hotel, which is obviously where the whole Watergate scandal happened with Nixon. Yeah. Then we cut to November 27th, 1973, Chilmark, Massachusetts, 8:53 p.m. And basically this is Mulder's flashback. And I believe this is the first time we've seen this version of it, isn't it? Because in the pilot, he tells her that he was in his bed and she was felt present in the room. And we've completely decided to forget about that.
Yeah.
just rewrite it. And I'm just like, I'm sorry. Either don't give all the details in the first one if you're still thinking you don't know what you want to do it. Or, well, no, that's it. Don't give out the details because you've done it. And then you just completely changed them. So anyway, Mulder and Samantha are on the floor playing this little crappy game. And does it say what they're playing? They are playing...
I don't know. I think they mentioned it.
Stratego. They're playing Stratego. So basically, Samantha's moaning because Mulder's got the... what is it he's watching?
Is it not the thing?
Man, she erased the conversation between. Ah, it's about Nixon. It's about the whole Watergate thing, I think.
Eisen?
Yeah.
There's some continuity.
Yeah. That thing caused this flashback. So he's this thing on the news, and he's saying that he's leaving it on that channel. He wants to watch The Magician. And Samantha's like, Mum and Dad said I could watch a movie. And then she calls him Butt Munch, which is just. I'm pretty sure I would be like, you dick, to my brother, even at that age, if your parents aren't around. So Mulder's basically like, shut up, I'm in charge. And Samantha, and then he tells her to get out of his life, eh?
He's like, get out of my life.
He's whiny back then, as he is now. So basically they're arguing, and then they think the fuse is blown on the TV, all the power goes out, and then like shit starts shaking and everything. And basically the aliens come, and she floats out the window. Then there's a silhouette of an alien in the doorway, and it looks like it's like doing this weird dance, and it kind of looks like the dancing baby from Ally McBeal.
Doing
this weird little movement. But also, I just watched Asteroid City last night, and it kind of looks like the little alien from that. The alien from Asteroid City. You need to watch it. It's fucking hilarious. It's little shifty eyes.
It reminds me of the X-Files episode that was on The Simpsons in a mystery. That's what it reminds me of.
It's really bad. It looks terrible.
It is something.
They shouldn't have shown the alien.
Probably not.
So she leaves. And Mulder's left kneeling on the floor. Basically, he went to get a gun in the midst of all this as well, but you can't get it together or some shit. Anyway, we cut to Mulder. He's in his apartment. We cut to Mulder's apartment. He's woke up from this nightmare of this abduction, and he looks like such a slut.
He's
got his chest hair out. He's got his sleeves rolled up. He's covered in sweat. It's a good look. So then a man just like walks into his room and is like, we're going to the hill. And he's like... That was actually bare acting for me. This guy is so wooden and pathetic. It's so bad. So then we cut to Office of Senator Richard Matheson, and the Brandenburg Concerto No. 2 is playing in his office, and the guy who was like, we're going to the hill, walks in, and Mulder falls in behind him, and Richard Matheson asks Mulder if he knows this, and he calls him Fox.
Yeah.
So basically, we find out that Mulder has another sugar daddy.
Yes.
And he's been blowing him for information over here. Because this guy's calling him Fox.
Yeah, there's
an older guy thing there. Yeah, there's a tension between these two.
Mm-hmm.
So, because Mulder says it's Brandenburg Concerto No. 3. And he's like, buzz two fingers from like number two. Mm-hmm. So Mulder says, good thing it wasn't a double Jeopardy question. This isn't when he was on Jeopardy, was it? No?
I can't remember. I don't know when he was on.
Because is there not a... No, I think that's... Is that in... One of the Darren Morgan episodes, they take the piss out of a question and he got wrong on it.
I think so. Yeah.
It's because she's written Breakfast at Tiffany's, and I think he got something wrong about Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Right.
To be fair, I don't think it would be the kind of book he'd be reading.
I just remember, what are frogs?
What are frogs? So Matheson says it's the first selection of music on the Voyager spacecraft, and then repeats the first. So basically this is the first thing an alien species would ever hear. And he basically goes on this big spiel about, the world ending, the sun no longer existing, and this is like, if another civilization finds this is what they would find, and be like, oh, what a wonderful species. And he says he would want it to be first contact. Hopefully that didn't pick up.
I was just thinking that.
He's going on about this nice thing, and then Mulder just says, I know I've let you down. He's such a martyr.
I know, he's just being just whiny, and I'm like, you're annoying me. You're making me not like you.
So anyway, Matheson asks, do you like Bach, Mulder? And Mulder's like, I live for Bach. And then Matheson says, let's hear it again. And he then writes down on a bit of paper and gives it to Mulder. He shows it to Mulder and says they may be listening. And he is as crazy as fucking Mulder.
Oh, God.
Which is why they're sleeping together, clearly. So Matheson basically tells him that he needs to get to the radio telescope at Arecibo. I'm guessing that's how you say that. Puerto Rico. This is how we do it down in Puerto Rico. We can do a little TikTok. Despacito. And Matheson says he'll try to delay them as long as he can, so you'll have at least 24 hours. And I don't know how this boy's supposed to get down to Puerto Rico and get a flight. Like, was it really that easy back in the 90s? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
So he says he can no longer hold off the Blueberry UFO retrieval team, and they have been authorized to display terminal force. And Mulder asks what he's looking for, and Matheson says contact. So, yeah. But they're like inches away from each other.
Oh, God, it's very strange.
They've fucked for sure.
Yeah.
There's no other explanation. So, talking of sugar daddies, we cut to the FBI headquarters, Washington, D.C., and we've got Skin Man. So, Skinner says, when did you last see Agent Mulder? And Scully says, yesterday. And Skinner's saying, where? In the bullpen hallway. Bullpen? What do they call it?
Oh, yeah.
That's so weird.
Yeah.
Anyway, basically, Skinner's saying that Mulder failed to appear on his assignment this morning. Whereabouts are unknown. And the cigarette smoking man. CSM, old dry lips.
Yeah, old dry lips.
Picks up a pack of cigarettes off the table. And basically, the cigarette smoking man stops the tape after Scully said, like, she'll volunteer to go help him in the search for Mulder. Skinner's like, no, the Bureau can handle this. CSM stops the tape and Skinner says she doesn't know where he is. And CSM's like, how can you be sure? Skinner says, because he knows as well that they want to fuck. He's like, because if she didn't know, she wouldn't be so worried about him. So the cigarette smoking man opens up his packet of cigarettes and it's empty. He looks at Skinner and Skinner's just like, I don't smoke. So then he just crushes the pack into his hands. He's so mad. So we cut to Mulder in his Canadian tuxedo. He's wearing all denim. It's a good look. And he's got his Timbies on, his wafer sunglasses. He's looking good. It's a good look. And his hair's all ruffled by the wind. So it actually looks decent for once. He's serving. Yes. So we are at Arecibo, Puerto Rico. Mulder is riding in the back of a truck. He's got sunglasses and that on. Looks good. Drenched in sweat. Again, he's a sweaty boy in this. So, anyway, Mulder literally hikes through the jungle until he finds the National Astronomy. And Ionosphere Center, Arecibo, Puerto Rico. And it says no trespassing. So he takes his sunglasses off, because that was a good look. And after trying the locks, he decides to hike around and find a gate. And again, he's just walking around the jungle. It takes so long to get to this. Anyway, he goes inside and he takes out a wee voice recorder and it's a classical X-Files torch. And he starts talking to it and says, the power's all been turned off inside this, but the panel lights are still on. The room is about 30 by 15. Don't need to know that. He says, so he's basically seen all this stuff droning on about like the condition he's found it in. And then all of a sudden he hears a machine whirring and turns around to see that the tape recorder is running. So then we cut to Mulder's apartment and Scully's there. She plays the answer machine and there's a woman's like, Mulder, you hounded me to have lunch with you today and then you don't show up. You're a pig. And who the fuck is this bitch? And also, why is he hounding her to take her out for lunch? But he's been all pissy with fucking Scully.
I know. What is that all about?
And no. And she's trying to get laid and he's just ignoring it. Like, I call BS.
I think he's just so hopeless around Scully. He just doesn't know what's going on.
Yeah.
Can't go.
So annoying.
It's like a mind blank.
So anyway, Scully sits down at his computer, puts on her little smart girl glasses. And
she's gonna do some hacking.
She clicks on the directory marked files and then it says it's protected and to enter a password. So then this bitch literally types in spooky. This boy hates getting called spooky. He resents the nickname. It shows that he's a joke to everyone. And she thinks he's going to put that as his password.
Yeah.
Twat. So then she types Samantha because clearly these are the only things she thinks he cares about. So that is also not the password. So then she tries trust no one. Of a one. The number one. Not.
I can't do the word. Just the number.
And it works.
This boy.
Yeah, so she clicks on the print button and then she hears footsteps approaching the hallway. It's very like an 80s
it is.
Spotty thriller or something. So then the printer starts up and I swear this prints far too fast for the 90s.
Oh,
nothing
yeah,
printed that fast in the 90s.
None prints that fast today.
Yeah. So she prints it out but the paper drops onto the floor and the two men walk in and Agent Morris asks, may I ask what you're doing here, Scully? Or Agent Scully, I guess he calls her. He's not that familiar with her. And Scully asks, are you following me? And Morris is like, nope, this residence is under surveillance. And Scully says she was told by the assistant director that Mulder was gone. And Morris is like, and? He's like, so whenever he's away, I feed his fish. Thinking on our feet.
She is. They look
it's
at a clever gal.
Yeah, so they look at the fish tank and they're like, well, that checks out. Got fish, so okay. So then Morris looks at the self-tests. No, he doesn't. The other guy picks up the paper and he's like, what is this? And Morris is like, it looks like a self-test that the computer does. And he just crumples up and throws it into the waste paper basket. So Scully pulls off the lid of the fish food and spills it all over the shelf. And she gets told just to dump it in the tank. She's like, that would be good for the fish. So then basically she takes the bit of paper they've just dumped that she printed off, uses it to put the fish food into it. And then goes to put in the bin and crumples up and puts her to sleep. How they didn't notice this, I don't know.
I know, it's
but
so
also,
bizarre.
The bitch said she's there to feed the fish. She knows Mulder's gone and she doesn't feed his fish.
Right.
Poor fish.
Yeah, ugly fishies.
So, what the fuck, Scully?
I know.
She'd definitely be on the Orca's hit list. Don't go on any boat, Scully.
Trying to get his attention by killing his fish.
Exactly.
Maybe
Jesus.
Now he'll listen to me.
That's a bunny boiler. But yeah, that's the end of my notes.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
That was pretty
cool. Not much happened.
No, not much happened. Cut back to the astronomy center. We're back in Puerto Rico. I'm just going to call it the astronomy center because it's a whole mouthful. So Mulder is rewinding the tape on the recorder back to the beginning, feeds the reel into another one, and then he stops to take a wee drink of water. He turns his torch on, and then he like looks over to the door for the toilet, and then he gets up to go, and then when he opens it, there's a guy inside, and they both shite themselves and start screaming, basically. So the guy inside is screaming, he's just like, you know, don't hurt me, don't hurt me, and Mulder's just like, who are you? Like, what's going on? So Mulder asks him who he is and what he's doing here, but yeah, and then there's a clear language barrier. So he asks him his name, and he says that it's Jorge. Mulder asks what he's seen which has made him so afraid. Jorge points upwards towards the ceiling, or towards the sky, and says in Spanish that there were lights in the sky, red, blue, and orange, and he saw men which were... No, he saw men, but they were like animals. They weren't human. But Mulder doesn't understand, and he tells him he doesn't understand. So Jorge grabs his pen and draws a picture on the wall, and it looks like an alien.
Literally the worst drawing ever.
Yeah, it is.
Come on, Jorge. Put some effort in it.
And although, you know what I made? That Mulder is looking fine, looking so sweaty. I'm like, it looks a bit manky, like you could go for a shower, but he's looking good.
Yeah, it's good look. Probably not a good smell, but it's a good look.
No, definitely not. He is musty.
I don't know, men put so much aftershave on.
Oh, true, yeah.
Cologne, whatever you want to call it. Often when you're sweaty, all you can still smell is the aftershave. Like, there's nothing that smells worse in the morning than a man that's just put aftershave on because you can't breathe.
Yeah, there's so much
scent going on. You're just like, Jesus Christ, can you just have the ball?
And then we cut to the US Naval Observatory in Washington, D.C. The doctor or scientist, I'm quite sure which one, and tells Scully that the printout that they're looking at looks like the WOW signal, and then he goes on to explain what that is.
Wow
signal.
Wow
he rambles on a bit.
Scott, what's his name? Warren Wilson.
Oh, yeah.
Wow
it's the wow signal. Ka-chow. So basically this signal is the best evidence they have of extraterrestrial intelligence, but whatever Scully has on this printout is even better. He asks where she got it, and she says that maybe you can tell me, and she asks if it's from Ohio State, and he says that he can't tell, but there's a few projects dotted about, and he lists them. And he mentions Berkeley, and I was like, oh, shout out to Sandy.
Sandy Cohen!
Like, shout out to the OC. And then
he
he then mentions that there is a site in Puerto Rico, which NASA was working out of. So, it all comes together. So back at the FBI headquarters, Scully has little stacks of paper on her desk. She pulls one off the pile, and it's like an airline manifest. So she scans it, goes through all the names, and then she goes past the name Hale, and then like goes back up, right, obviously remembering their earlier conversation about the elves coming in the window and everything. And she's like, oh, Mulder! But then I was also thinking, how did they get away with that back in the day going under a false name? Like, did she just have like a stack of passports sitting around? Like, was he a fraudster? Because
I
surely
they would have needed a passport because Puerto Rico is part of an American.
Oh, do you not need one for America? Like going in.
No, not in the different states.
Okay.
Although I think you need ID, but maybe you didn't even back then. Like, this is.
Oh, that's the 90s. That's what I was thinking.
11, so,
well,
like,
that's what I was thinking, yeah.
There wasn't that much security things in a measure.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if because you could get fake ID really easy, but Puerto Rico is like a American territory or something.
Aye, well, that's what I was thinking,
thing?
Yeah.
Because remember when Trump was like, something about meeting the president of Puerto Rico, and I was like, that's you, did.
Yeah.
So.
I knew they were related, so I wondered if maybe that tied in, but then I thought, surely the names would need to match up on some kind of ID. Not that it really mattered. I was just like,
it was
like,
the 90s. Yeah. I bet you probably could do that.
Yeah. I do remember Mum and Dad went to Florida before I was born. And them saying, like, security was just mental. Like, it was a joke compared to, like, what it is today. So, yeah, maybe it was.
As in, it was, like, really low.
Oh, yeah, like lax, yeah. See, I was just wondering. But yeah, I also made a note saying, does old Foxy have a stack of fake IDs kicking about? I was like, the things this boy will do for the truth.
Foxy Mulder.
But back in Puerto Rico, all the machines are on and Jorge is looking around. Mulder starts talking into a tape recorder about the transmissions. Then we get the best line out of season 2. Possibly the whole series. But Jorge pushes a button and it beeps and Mulder stops, like, speaking into his recorder. And it spins, and then he's like, no, Jorge, no on the roll. So funny. I don't know why.
I can't remember what podcast I was listening to, but remember they're like, worst line in X-Files. No,
the best line.
That's the best line. Fuck you.
It's the best line.
Yes, he's ignoring it, and yes, he should learn another language. Yes. At least the basics of another language, especially Spanish, concerning how many Spanish people,
exactly.
people there are in America. But still, it's funny.
It is funny.
A bit of comedy. Lighten up.
So the like the tape reel player turns itself on, and Jorge is no happy. Jorge is like, bro, we need to get the fuck out of here. He's like, let's go. So he's screaming and basically playing like, oh, like they've come back. But Mulder's like, nah, like it's raining. Like, we're not going outside. It's like the storm's coming, blah, blah, blah.
There's a storm coming, Mr. Wayne.
So he turns the corner off and tells Jorge not to be afraid and that he can't be afraid.
So wouldn't.
It is.
The action's really bad. I'm sorry, David, but it is. We've seen much better from you.
Yeah, definitely. That whole... Just that, don't be afraid.
Yeah.
You can't be afraid. It's just so ridiculous. I was like, oh, no. But he turns around and he sees that the door is now open. Okay, so Jorge has ran off. Mulder runs out after him, shouting his name, and then with his torch, he walks forward and he sees something. It's not funny. It's funny to us with an inside joke, which we'll get to. So basically, he's dead. He's leaning against the tree and he's frozen and he looks petrified. And I sent a photo to you of that scene as I was doing my notes. And I was like, it just reminds me of the Scary Movie 3 scene, which we're talking about the night before.
Yeah, best, but one of the best jokes of all time.
He looks so peaceful. She's just like,
ah. It was on last night, I was watching it.
Was it?
Yeah.
Nice. So yeah, that's why we're laughing.
Poor Jorge. Rest in peace.
So then we're at Miami International Airport. Ellie's there and she whips out her wee compact mirror and uses it to scan the folk who are sitting behind her. And
they couldn't be any more dressed like they're in the night.
I know. Crazy. But there's an excellent focus on that thing, by the way. I've been able to see all those different folk.
The compact?
Yeah.
Maybe it's like a James Bond.
Oh, compact. Maybe it is. It's an FBI one. An undercover one. But basically, she's looking to see if somebody's tailing her. She walks away from her seat. And she sees that there's a couple watching her. And the man signals in the direction that she leaves in and they both get up to follow. And then Scully just turns around and just, they're just like the worst tailing, like, undercoverings ever. Because when she turns around, they're just like, oh, I don't know. And just like spin. And like, it's not subtle at all. So she's like, right, okay, they are obviously tailing me. So she goes to the payphone and phones Mulder's house phone, and on the answering machine she says CA519, and the agent within his house who is monitoring it writes it down. So she sees that she's still being followed, so she makes another call, and it basically just says like the time at this phone call is whatever. So, and then she hangs up, and the boarding call comes across the PA system saying that the flight CA519 is now open for boarding. So the two agents stand up, they're booked onto that flight, so they're like, oh yeah, let's go. So, but then they see that the payphones are empty, so the female agent hurries across to look for her, but Scully is gone. She is a ghost in the night. She has disappeared. The man says that they know where she's going, like it's fine, we don't, if we've lost her, that she is going to St. Croix, and that the gate is in the other terminal. But Scully is now a floor above and is watching them down below, and then she goes to another gate to buy a ticket to San Juan. And Mulder is having a time in Puerto Rico. Got Jorge inside, and he is recording his observation of the body.
No, wait. Remember, was it maybe Lamierda or someone who asked what did Mulder do before Scully for the autopsies? And I was like, that bitch definitely would have been like, I'll have a stab at it.
Yeah.
Like, male ego, like, yeah, I can do it.
Yeah.
And here he is, being like, I'm not trained, but I'll have a go.
Yeah.
Fucking told you.
Yep.
I knew there was precedence for that statement.
Yeah, so he's giving it a go. He notes that there's a lack of injuries, like burns, probe marks, needles, etc. And he's going on and he says into the recorder, he's like, my God, Scully, it's as if he's been frightened to death. And he's recording it as if he's speaking to her.
Have you ever seen my little mark?
No.
I've seen my alien marks.
What? That rings a bell, actually. Yeah.
They're just here, look. My little puncture marks.
Oh, yeah.
My mum had some. And I was like, oh, then I like my puncture marks. And I showed her, but hers were like red and like big circles. Like, they actually look like the ones from the X-Files pilot.
Brilliant. So, yeah. Just like old times, she's recording it for her. Like, oh my God. And he's like, oh, again, Scully, nothing but evidence. And again, no evidence at all. And you're like, whatever. Yeah. Whatever, Mulder. Sure.
We should open that big bottle.
We should have, yeah.
I like how quickly my judgment goes.
Yeah. So yeah, he's rambling, but I do like that shot of him in the dark with like the lights in the background and it's just like silhouetted. Marty from the lighting department is back on his bullshit, but it worked out for him this time. Yeah. Like the silhouette is very good.
Fucking Marty.
Yeah, fucking Marty.
We see a t-shirt that says fucking Marty.
Fucking Marty. So yeah, that shot of him with the silhouette feels very X-Files to me. Darkness and the green and the red, like the lights. Oh, So he walks over to the printout and he goes off in a monologue, and I've literally written yada yada yada. But at the end, he's still talking through the tape recorder as if he's talking to Scully. He says, "Before I could only trust myself, now I can only trust you. And they've taken you away from me." And this was the block. That was the block of text I sent you, which was just like,
"They've taken you away." Yeah. Couldn't have said this to her though.
I know, in person.
I'm so worried about you, Mulder, ruffling his hair.
I know, crazy.
May as well have been tickling his balls.
Yeah. And then he goes on to say, less importantly,
you hear that seal going, "Ah!" Oh, that's not picked up on the audio.
That would be funny.
We are technically in a seaside town. Get over it, guys. I mean, you know, seagulls, you're just going to have to deal with it.
Just that's the vibe.
Not cute seaside town. You know. Not like a nice little, nice aesthetic sort of
thing. No, definitely not. No, it's a Bel Air, but it's home.
Yeah.
Yeah, so then he goes on to say, less importantly, like, my life up until this point has been about the need to see her again, meaning Samantha, to see them, but what would I do if they really came? So he looks over at Jorge, and there's a rumbling and a rattling. Everything's going to shit, basically. Glass starts breaking, the printer starts printing more info, tape player starts repeating back what Mulder said into it, really spookily, like, I'm not gonna lie.
See, I like some of that, but he's bitch got it. Just randomly.
Aye.
I hadn't asked her, hadn't alerted her, and she just suddenly started playing what I just said. Like, I was
Out
to my mum, and she just played it back to me, and I was like, "You're getting a buzz." Spooky bitch.
Oh, back off, yeah, spooky bitch. So yeah, everything's going to shit, and the tape recorder's saying, in deep throat said, "Trust no one," but it's like got pauses in it, and it sounds distorted. It does not sound nice. Like, the seagulls agree. He's like, "No,
leave the pigeon, leave the pigeon alone."
it's the guy with the dog out. Yeah, I think he is. They're gonna go mental after that dog. I think the dog tried to eat one.
I can't see the dog, but I can see the guy with the fluffy thing. Oh, he's just getting like.
But yeah, I think the dog actually tried to like eat one the other day, because he threw the ball and then all I heard was like a snap, and then it was just like, "Let it go." I was like, "Oh no,
Let the pigeon go. Go, pigeon, free.
The pigeon's free."
Catch the pigeon. Don't catch the pigeon. Leave the pigeon alone, man.
There was actually a baby down on the grass earlier. Maybe maybe the dog will get the baby.
Oh no.
What a wee shame.
Anyway.
So the like distorted sounds like goes on for a bit. Mulder tries to rewind the tape and it starts like played as normal. The door like bursts open and Mulder just starts screaming. He's just like, "No!" So everything dies down. Mulder runs to his bag and takes out his gun. The door opens again. He tries to fire it, but the gun doesn't fire. He takes the clip out and puts it back in. And then when he looks up, Mulder like kind of like fades to black.
It's all like white, bright light.
Goes to black. And then he opens his eyes or whatever, refocuses, and he sees Scully. And she's just like, "Oh my god, I thought you were dead." And you're like, "Oh!" She's like, "It's Scully, Data Scully, do you know where you are?" He tries to sit up, and then she helps him up. And then he goes to stand, and he's just like, "They came, Scully, the ones that took her, they were here." But he puts his hands on her shoulders. Oh, it's so cute.
You're like breathing heavily into each other's face.
Yeah, this whole moment is just iconic.
I always like to cut this with the scene in this, where they're like breathing heavily.
Yeah.
Always a good time, different parallel.
Yeah, that's so good. But Mulder's still banging on. He's like, "Oh, they were here." And Scully's like, "Were they here?" Or then she puts her hands his forehead. "Or were they here?" I'm like, "You're insane."
Like, "You are crazy, boy." Yeah. Are you sure you didn't imagine it? Like, the little green men you've been seeing.
Yeah.
Brilliant. She just does not care.
No.
No fucks given by Daily Scully. She is fucking savage. She's like, "You're crazy, Mulder."
Yep.
"Are you sure they weren't in your head?"
Yeah.
Was it a big bottle of Cabernet?
It was, yeah.
Diablo. I've had that information, Emma.
Probably better if we don't.
No,
with Mondays tomorrow.
You should not be hungover this Monday.
Yeah.
No one knew, though.
No, yeah.
I carried myself pretty well. Yeah, I did. I was fucking dying.
You did.
And I was just like, "This is so unprofessional. I've not been here long enough."
Right.
Like, come in and be like, "Oh, I'm hungover." So I was like, "You need to keep it together." Fucking and I just like hailed it.
Yeah, I wouldn't have noticed.
Anyone noticed?
Because I when came to me and asked about music. No, it was talking about Elton John, and you were like, "Oh, do you like Elton John?" You turned around, you're like, "Yeah, I wouldn't have noticed." But then I knew that you were hungover. Yeah, I was like, "Oh no, just hanging." Like,
oh, so bad.
Funny.
I was like, "Don't let them know you're hungover."
Yeah, I don't think anybody knew.
No.
You pulled it off well. So yeah, back to Puerto Rico.
Yeah,
Mulder is just like giddy. He's just like, "Oh my god!" So yeah, he's gone off the deep end, and Scully's just like, what the fuck? Like, are you okay? So he's rambling about evidence, and she just looks concerned, with a capital C. He pulls back the table, which tipped over, and it reveals Jorge's body, and Scully's just like, what the fuck? She's like, what is going on?
You're just lying to me, you're a dead body, yeah. Bro.
What's up, dude? What is it?
What's up, dude? Yeah. Mulder's like, oh, we need to examine the body. Like, there'll be more proof. But then, like, the rumbling starts up again. And Scully's like, oh, is this them? And Mulder's like, no. So he runs outside and he sees, like, an army van's coming up the road. And he's like, is the Beret crash retrieval team? Like, they'll kill us. He's like, help me with the body.
That was slurred.
That was, I couldn't get it out.
Crash
I was
retrieval. It was just the retrieval.
The retrieval. So I was laughing too much. That's what it was. So yeah, was it like the blueberry or just the beret?
Blueberry. Yeah.
Blueberry crash not retrieval like blueberry. Team. Blueberry. Yeah, like blue space blueberry. Beret. Like hat.
Like green beret.
Yeah, but blue.
Blueberry. No, black beret.
Wasn't yeah.
That's not black beret.
I don't think I never had one.
My dad gave me his old one that he got. It was a good one because it was from his work he got.
Oh, right, okay.
Got a little sleeve and it was magnetic. So
I remember that. Yeah. I remember that.
Like, my hands couldn't work in the morning. So when I was trying to pull it out, I just couldn't get it out. It used to be a nightmare. But yeah, I used to like the full keyboard on the black.
I know, they were quite nice. I quite liked that.
And it smelled like him.
Oh, that's quite nice though. I know exactly what you mean.
I told him when I came out, I was like, oh, this, like, after a week of having it, I was like, oh, the phone smells like you. And he was like, what does that smell like? And I was like, you smell like Chanel and coffee. And that's what I smell like. He always wears Chanel Allure. That's the only aftershave we'll ever wear. And he drinks so much coffee. And that's what it smells like.
Yeah.
Mix that.
Oh,
like,
I love that.
Like that. Yeah. It's not a bad smell. I'm not saying you're smelly.
It's comforting.
Yeah.
Nice. Tip. Mulder's basically like, oh, we need to get the body out here as well. And he's serving Luke's in the muscle tea.
In your hall.
I don't know. Maybe it was the ball hitting the flowers? Is that
what
I'm doing there? Or it might have just been the blinds.
I'm about to get murdered.
No, it might just be the blinds. The door's locked.
Oh, is the door locked?
Yeah.
What if they're already in here?
No.
That's why I always sometimes I'm like, maybe I shouldn't lock the door because I want a fast getaway.
Ah, true.
I always think I don't want to be that fanny that's going to horror film trying to get out. Anyway, Jesus Christ. That's so cool.
So yeah, he's serving Luke's. Scully's like, nah, we don't have time. Mulder's like screaming at her. She's like, help me. And Scully's like, no, like, we're never going to be able to get the body out of the country. And which is a very good point.
It's a shame though when you're asking for people aren't helping you.
I know.
I feel for Mulder, but also he's being very unreasonable.
Yeah, he is. He is. So the van keeps making its way up the hill towards them, and Mulder starts grabbing printouts and like rifling through stuff, and Scully grabs his arm and you're just like, oh my god, swoon. And she's like, we have to go, evidence is worthless if you're dead, which is another very good point. She's talking sense. So he throws down the paper, looks out the door, and he takes the reel, and they run out just as the truck reaches the site, and they jump into the truck. And the van pulls up behind them and they drive off, like the army shoots at them. There's a whole car chase. They lose them and the army pulls back. So, and then Scully looks over at Mulder, who's just like focused on driving. And then she looks down at the reel at her feet.
And also she has to duck down because she was so pregnant. Yeah. And keep me in the stunt.
Yeah.
So the whole duck down thing is just like a way of getting her out of it.
Yeah. Oh. Cut to Skinner's office. Skinner is raging because Mulder left his post. Dry lips. Yeah.
He's a smoker joint.
Yeah.
Just calm down, my man.
Yeah, old dry lips are smoking in the background while they're like arguing. And how he doesn't stand there, like, oh my god, guys, this is so awkward. Like, can I just go? Yeah.
The emoji. Just
awkward turtle, like, nope. So Mulder says that he understands and accepts the consequences of his actions, but there was more than enough evidence there to arrest the people who was wiretapping. Like, that was his assignment before he left his post. But they, like Skinner, just left him there. And then he brings up how they wiretapped his own phone, which is illegal. And then this is the first Skin Man is hearing of it and just like shoots a look at cigarette smoking man. And he walks over and he's like, your time is over and you leave with nothing. And Skinner's just like, get out. But we think that like, he's talking to Mulder, but he's actually looking at old dry lips. And you're just like, oh shit. You're just like, yeah, bitch.
Begins the sassiness. When does he have the sign that's like, no smoking? Is that not like the Reduxes or something?
I think so. Yeah, it must be.
Wait, is he still in his office at that point? I'm not had a full rewatch in a while.
I can't remember, actually. I can't remember. It's just like, ah, oh, yeah, bitch, moment. But Cigarette Smoking Man still thinks that Skinner is like talking to Mulder, and Skinner's just like, I said, get the hell out. And then he just...
I said.
Oh, it's another Beyonce music video for all. Oh, maybe. If I Were a Boy. And he's like, I say.
Yes. Oh, I've not watched that in years.
It also reminds me of Stanley on Office. Did I stutter?
Oh, I love it. So, yeah. Old Drylips gets the hint. And he realises that Skinner's talking to him, and Skinner's just, like, glaring at him. He takes out his packet of cigarettes and a lighter, puts one in his mouth and lights it as the two of them watch, and then he walks out. And Skinner just tells Mulder to report back to his assignment. He walks back around his desk, and Mulder's like, a minute ago I was a four-bagger. I don't know what that means, Foki. Do you want me to make the arrest? And Skinner's just like, no, I think we need more to go on. So he just sits down and he tells him to continue the surveillance, and Mulder walks out, and Skinner looks down at the cigarette smoking man's cigarette still smoking in the ashtray. So we cut back to Mulder's little office where he's doing like the wiretaps and stuff. Scully's sitting with him.
It's a closet.
It's a closet, yeah. His wee hole.
Don't call Scully that.
I think we both had the thought at the same time. Oh dear, that was funny.
Episode
title. Yes, love it. So Mulder is like looking at the reel that he got, and he's trying to play it with a tape player, but it's just like blank. And he's like, it should be here. So he rewinds it and presses play, and it runs shortly until the tape ends and that there's nothing. And he says that the entire tape is blank. And Scully goes on like her reasoning. She's like, you know, an electrical charge in the outlet, the storm may have like erased everything. And she's like, you still have nothing. Like, wait, kick a man while he's down. Yeah, but then Mulder goes on to be very sweet and very nice, and he's just like, I may not have the X-Files, Scully, but I still have my work. And I've still got you. You're like, ah! And her wee look, she's sweating.
Like, oh my god, she's like, yeah. He fucking loves me.
Yeah, this is his way of so telling her.
She declared all her love for him at the start of the episode, and he gave her nothing. And then she's like, oh my god, he feels the same.
Yeah, he does. He then goes on to say that he still has himself, so he sits down, puts his headphone back on, presses play, and gets back to work. And then she puts her hand on his head. Is he like, oh.
She also has her hand on, like, is her hand on his hand.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. The wee hand squeeze. Yeah, oh.
Wee hand squeeze. And then her hand in his hair again. I don't blame her, because I would love to ruffle that boy's hair. Such nice hair. No, I mean, not style-wise right now, but.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It would be good to ruffle your hands for it, but, oh.
So good. Oh, this whole episode was so good for, like, Lily. It was horrible moments. So he gets back to work, and before she goes, they share a look. And a wee smile, and oh my god, my wee heart, and then the episode ends.
And that's it.
And that's it. Oh, it's all cute.
So, do we think that's going to make the top five? There's no point doing that, where it's going to go in season two, because we're only one episode.
Oh, yeah.
But would it make our overall top five that's sitting there right now?
I don't know. I don't think it would.
The MSR is quite good.
Yeah, the MSR alone, it could love, be. Yeah.
But the rest of the episode is not that great. Not much happens.
No.
Mulder's serving looks in it, but apart from
you
get Skin Man. They're turning Skin Man, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Sass the CSM, we love to see it. Yep. But other than that, I don't think it's getting there.
No, don't think so.
So there's no point in doing rankings because it's the first one of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, do you want to do the fans are out there?
Yeah. So at Given Not Stolen. I know, that's such a good name. I mean, you mean that totally platonic episode that had a parking lot in the dark conversation that ended with her hand in his hair and these little scenes with Mulder recording lines like that? Where he's just like, now I can only trust you. Oh!
So good.
And then at DiniG_AZ. Which I think is Dini. Yes, just wrote no on the roll. Like, you get it. You get it. At Okaboji1, says that Scully was very good at finding Mulder. She always impresses me a lot with her skills on this subject. Even if he goes to hell, she will find him.
If you want the D that bad, you're going to follow
him there. Yeah. At Home with Spiders says, our babies just want to be near each other. Poor Mulder is so lost. I love that they find any reason to be in contact. And oh, it's so good. At Green Elf Oz says, Mulder's toddler haircut era with matching pouting tantrums unsurpassed. At Heart Eyes for David says, I love that he's recording everything on the voice recorder, but then we find out he's actually talking to Scully and keeping record for her. Yeah.
We didn't actually go over that, though, with the reveal of that. He's just doing it all for evidence, and then it's actually that he's talking to Scully.
Yeah, I did mention that.
Brilliant. Did you?
Yeah. Because I was like,
write that one.
And then they go on to say that he still sees them as partners and the one person he can trust. Yeah. At eMessenger922 It says, love me some, in quotes, lost without our Mulder. Oh, that's my favourite angst. It's mine too. That's so good. And then at Maria71Proto, just put two of the smiling faces and love hearts on them. Mm-hmm. Like, yep. And that was all from that one. So at Keller McPhee. Oh, yeah. So we tried to record on Thursday, but it didn't work. None was working. So they said, hope you managed to get rid of the ghost or maybe aliens in the machine. They also say, also, I don't really understand what is going on with the aliens and the big spinny audio discs, but whatever. and then the next tweet, this episode breaks my fucking heart. Mulder is so dejected and yeah. Scully is so worried. Yep, and clearly missing him. I think she also needs to process the events of the Erlenmeyer flask with him, and she's trying so hard to connect with him, and he just can't, and it's so painfully sad. Oh, no, right, okay, so, and then they go on to say, also, I don't really understand what is going on with the aliens and the big spinny audio discs, but whatever.
Yeah, I think that was it for all the fans right there.
But yes. Now, on its return.
Do you think I'm spooky?
So first off, big thank you to Dini from the X-Files Chatroom podcast. And if you have not listened to our crossover episode, you need to go check that out. Part one is on our podcast and part two is on the X-Files Chatroom podcast channel. So it was, we had so much fun with these ladies. We've been planning this since we started out.
Yeah.
Jess reached out to us when we first started out and they had just first started out. And we had a blast. And then Dini told us, because we said we wanted to do more of Do You Think I'm Spooky or Conspiracy Corner, just more little add-ons to the episode. And Dini told us she had a story for us, so here we go. And I've not read any of the listener stories that have been submitted because I wanted to live react. Yeah. So here we go. My friend would often visit the town of Escada, Sonara. Jesus Christ. Town of, maybe I should have read them. Town of Escada, Sonora, I'd say, in Mexico. His grandmother lived on a ranch there. When her husband passed away, her two sons, I'm going to say they were both in their 20s at the time, took over the duties of the land, which included herding the cattle. Oh, so it's going to go like cattle mutilation or something. I'm not prepared for that. I'm a vegetarian. They would ride their horses back home via dirt road well after the sun went down. Obviously, this was a very rural area. I couldn't think of anything worse. Mm-hmm. There were no streetlights or cars driving by. Fucking spooky. So on this particular night, as they travelled down the road with only the moonlight to guide them, one of the brothers, I believe it was the older one, looked over at the other and saw something he would later describe as some sort of creature or spirit. Oh, no! It had... No! It had very long arms and very long legs. I already hate it. I was hitching a ride on the horse his younger brother was on. No, wait, what? Wait, was it on the horse when we were like dragging, like hanging onto the tailor? What? What? I've got so much shivers. Yeah, I can't. No.
Nope.
I'm not sleeping tonight. sorry. So, and it was hitching a ride on the horse his younger brother was on. It was sitting... No! It was sitting directly behind him. Its legs were so long, they nearly touched the ground. Possibly out of shock, fear, or maybe a combination of both, the only thing he could bring himself to say was, there's something with you. I would kill him. I would not turn around. I'd be like, what is it? Get away.
I would just be like, wah!
Oh, no! I would just cease to exist. I couldn't deal with that.
I would just expire. Oh.
To his absolute horror, his younger brother looked over at him and said, you too.
No!
No. Jess said this was really scary, but I didn't think it was this kind of scary. I thought it was just going to be like, oh, I saw some lights in the sky, and I'd be like, oh, big deal. It was a plane, but, no. I'm not going to sleep tonight.
No.
Whatever these things were, they were identical. Both appeared out of nowhere and sat in the same position as the other. The brothers immediately jumped off their horses. Valid. Yeah. When they did so, the two creature spirits were now standing side by side in front of them. Ooh. No. The older brother mustered up the courage to try communicate. What do you want? No response. He tried again. What do you want? The horses? The two beings slowly turned their heads to look at each other as if considering the question and then focused their attention back on the men. Oh my god. At this point, the brothers ran for their lives. Valid. Mm-hmm. They left behind whatever personal belongings they had, including the horses. FYI, the horses weren't harmed in any way. Thank God. Yeah. Thank God. The brothers eventually made it back home safely. But they were so filled with terror by the experience, they had to be treated for shock by the local doctor. Oh, Jesus.
Oh, dear.
In time, the older brother was able to move on. The younger one suffered what is known today as selective mutism. Oh no! Aww. He didn't speak a word for years after seeing these things and was never the same. As far as I know, there was never a sign of these beings on the ranch ever again. Oh my god!
What a shame.
That was so scary. And yeah, what a shame that. Oh my god. When Jess said that Dini had a really scary story, I did not think it was going to be that kind of creepy. Oh, no. Right, so we've got more. So if your story's not being read out on this episode, it'll be on one of the later ones. Yeah, we're saving them all. We'll spread them. So, at Lexi on Twitter, Alexandra1, I think that says. And she uses she, her pronouns. May as well say that since we've got it. So, hi girlies. First of all, just wanted to say how amazing it is hearing from fellow UK fans, but especially how much I love you two and the podcast. You're honestly the funniest and most realistic recap podcasters ever. You're just amazing. Please never stop. And I read that bit and I didn't read the rest of it. Well, I was just like, how nice.
That is so nice.
Literally makes my day to hear stuff like that. Thank you for listening to our nonsense. Second of all, I have two spooky stories for you from my friend. She's typed them out for me to send since they're hers, and she can definitely tell them better than me. So number one, when I was younger, I had this very vivid dream of a levitating down the stairs and across the hallway. A couple of years later, I remembered this dream and started trying to levitate because I thought it was real. It was so vivid. Then my dad told me he'd had the exact same dream before, as had one of his sisters, but in a different house.
Oh, that's weird, eh?
Yeah, that's weird. Like, can this family, like, what's the word for, like, astral project?
Oh,
or
yeah,
something?
Aye. Ooh,
or is there something? Spooky. No, because it was in a different house. I was going to say maybe it's something to do with the house, but it's in a different house. That's weird that him and one of his sisters would have the exact same dream. That is weird.
That is spooky.
I don't like that. I don't want to dream of any of this shit tonight. I'm telling my subconscious right now, I don't want any of it. So number two, I don't remember when this was, but I was settling in to go to sleep. I sleep on my side when I felt this gentle stroking on my upper right arm. I was lying on my left facing the wall. A voice whispered good night in my ear and I responded with good night. You responded!
Would scream. My response would just be screaming. Yeah. I'd be like, oh.
I didn't hear a response, but I also didn't hear my door open or close at all, so I rolled over to see who had been stroking my arm and no one was there. It was terrifying. I later asked my parents who said goodnight to me, and neither of them had any idea what I was on about. I'm so sorry this is a long message. This wasn't long at all.
Yeah.
Not long at all.
That was all good.
Yeah. Very succinct.
Yes.
I'm sorry this is so long message, so I'm going to stop whilst I'm ahead. Love you both. Oh, thank you so much. We love you too. Thank you for your kind words. Thank you for your stories. I would not have been saying goodnight. I would definitely like the books. But I also had the same thing. I can't remember what I was upset about. I think I was having a panic attack. I cannot remember for the life of me what I was anxious about, but I was like proper crying, couldn't breathe, having a full-on panic attack. And then I just felt like this warm like sensation, like someone was touching my arm, and it just radiated through my whole body and I just went to sleep. And I slept through, like, you know me, I don't sleep.
Yeah.
I've got really bad insomnia. I slept through the night, woke up in the morning, felt so rested and hangy. And I was just like, oh my God. And then my sister went to see a medium and she said, oh, your granddad's here. He says, if you ever feel a hand on your shoulder, it's him.
Oh,
and I was like, that is freaky. Yeah.
That's
freaky.
That's a nice one.
Yeah, that's nice though. Because I didn't, because like I said, when I've seen her, you said goodnight, I'd be freaked out, but I didn't feel scared at all. I just felt comforted. And then I just suddenly fell asleep. It was actually really nice. So we've got at PGS Posts, Pamela Stafford on Twitter says, hi, a few years back, I stayed in Las Vegas, New Mexico. There's a Las Vegas in New Mexico.
I don't know.
What? That's blown my mind already. Shut up. Well, news to me. Who is that? News to me. Who is that?
Oh no. Was that not Sebastian?
Did we not have? It's Sebastian Stan. Yeah, I keep quoting this and being like, who's this? I think he was quoting Chris Evans, though, was he not, or something? I can't remember who it is. Anyway, a few years back, I stayed in Las Vegas, New Mexico, in a hotel that had been featured on paranormal ghost hunting television shows. Oh, I would love to, but I'm so much of a pussy, I wouldn't. I asked to stay in the haunted room. Pamela, don't do that. So she asked to stay in the... Oh, she, her as well. Sorry. So she asked to stay in the haunted room. Don't know why you'd do that.
Yeah.
The person I was traveling with asked for a room as far away as possible. Yeah, I'm the friend. I don't blame your friend. So When I went to bed, I kept hearing noises, but then I realised the wind was blowing outside, really howling. So I figured that it was it, and slept okay. The next morning at breakfast, my friend was talking about what a beautiful night it was. So clear, and that the stars were beautiful. He sat outside. I asked if the wind didn't bother him. He said there was no wind. I checked the weather. No wind. That's all I got.
Ooh.
No! So there was a howling noise and she falls the wind. Jeez. And it was no.
Nope.
Why would you ask to stay in the haunted room? Pamela, make better life choices. Also good for our spooky stories, though. So at Heart Eyes for David says, the only story I got is this one. When we were kids, we were looking up at the sky and saw something fly by. It was a shooting star, in brackets. My brother said it was a UFO and that aliens come when you're asleep to suck out your brains. Motherfucker. I had a room with two large windows that took up most of the wall and slept under the top bunk. I was paralyzed looking out the window. Afraid aliens were going to come and suck out my brain. I ended up running a fever of 103 and my mum had to give me an ice bath to snap me out of my fever. It's a wonder I wasn't traumatized and that I became an X-Files fan at all.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Brothers are the worst.
They are.
Brothers are the worst. God. So if you have your own spooky stories that you'd like to send in, you can DM us on Twitter or you can email us whatever way you want to send it in, or you can put on Discord. I think we have a special bit on Discord, don't we, for submitting.
Yeah,
if you want to join our Discord, it's absolutely free. Just follow the link in the description of this episode. But yeah, send in your own spooky stories. Anything paranormal, can be anything from a time slip, psychic dreams, El Chupacabra. Someone please give me an El Chupacabra. I'm obsessed with El Chupacabra. Bigfoot, ghosts, whatever you want, UFO signs, encounters with aliens, whatever you want, spooky dreams, just send them in. We love to hear them, even though I'm not going to sleep tonight, thanks, Danny. Yeah, so you can follow us on Twitter at The MSR Files Pod or on Instagram and TikTok at The MSR Files Podcast, and you can email us at The MSR Files Podcast at gmail.com. That's it for this episode.
Yeah.
Join us next time for the host. Can't wait. Darren Morgan's first appearance, even though you can't tell it's him. And it gives me the absolute bulk that episode.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, oh no, broke my pen.
But we get
Gretchen. Please don't say this. No.
Yeah.
Do we?
Yeah, we do. I'm sure.
Is that not the next episode?
No, I'm sure it's this one.
Maybe.
Let me check. I'm sure it was this one.
Come the boy. Yeah. I thought that was Sleepless or whatever it's called.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm sure they were, because I'm sure they went to... Oh, no, it is Sleepless. What am I thinking of then?
Still got a wee bit to go.
Oh, no, he just, fucks off on his own to do the host, and he's got the detective.
Yeah.
Oh, so close yet so far. Just how good my memory is.
Heck, well. Thanks to everyone who listened, and make sure you check out our CUNY crossover event that we did with the X-Files Chatroom Podcast. Goodbye.
Bye.